Albert Gormley, Rail 8.
And you'd do this in PT kit, the shorts and...
You went out to the gym, all you had on was a gym vest. It didn't matter whether it was raining or not raining, you were sweating out in the gym. Like, you'd put you'd have a gym vest on, a shorts, and a pair of gym shoes. That was all you had, training or nothing else. Didn't need any shucks, didn't wear socks.
How long would this session last?
An hour, full hour.
And did you get showered afterwards, or were you able to shower off?
No. They could shower in the bathroom.
But not after the PT?
Not after the PT, no. You had to make your way, well, I say make your way back, you were marched back to the bathroom, from the gymnasium, you were marched back from there. I'll tell you, it was there that happened there, in there. Some of them are very cool.
These are the NCOs, are they?
The bombardiers.
Bombardiers, yes.
This one was a bombardier, actually. And I noticed, in the first couple of days, this bloke had an awful habit of grabbing me by the nipple and twisting it. Can you imagine? You know? And that was endemic in it. You know, that was, get out, you know. He did it in the ring one day, and it's true. I said, I'll ask you not to do that again, Bombardier. Clever bugger, aren't we? You're a clever bomb, Miss Swan. I said, I'm not clever at all. I said, I'm just telling you, I don't want you to do that again. Because I said, yeah, well, I would all be able to stick up with you, my old mate. I said, I don't want you to do that again. Oh, he said, we've got it. We have got a clever bug in this board, have we? Here, he said, see what you can do with him. He picked a better box and goes up and he threw him at us. He did, there he's all right. And he was a lot heavier than me. I was up at 8, just over 8 stone. And he must have been about 9.5, 10 at least. And he said, get in the ring there. It was a very big box of wood. I used to box as a paperweight. I was boxing for the IGI as a bloody paperweight.
This must have interested the rest of the squad then.
You see me, you're taking them all right, I'm ducking and diving and dodging them. I did three rounds.
This was a PT bombardier, was it?
Bombardier.
And did he stop that with you after that?
He took a class all the time.
But he stopped twisting your nipple.
I was pretty Northern County champion before I went in there. And he come up to me and said, right, you're on a bloody boxing team with no one. So I couldn't stand up with a bloody boxing team.
So after PT, you went back to the barracks, and what happened then for the afternoon?
We go back to the barracks, and then another more or less compulsory parade was. We would, this is basic training.
Yes.
We would go up to the rotunda in top end of the barrack square, where there was this lovely big ruts and there was. And you would sit there, and there was a teacher. We would go there as a class, like a squad, you'd go in, and you'd be there as a class. And you had to get sit for your third class and second class. Sit kid of it, well, I just bored sort of like, you know, I was third class straight away. I could have gone for first class and I wanted to, but I just, you know.
What subjects did they teach you?
All just ordinary subjects. Yeah.
English and so on.
English, English literature, spelling, and things like that. They just went through. You were all right if you got the third class certificate. If you couldn't read the third class certificate, you'd get paid off. Right? So, if you couldn't make the third class, anybody could have got the third class certificate. You know. And they would teach you that, and then. You would also have during the course of that, you would do so much of that, and then they would take you around the rotunda, and they gave you the history of the regiment, and they would teach you all about the history of the regiment, telling you this one, that one, the other one, and they would do that, and that would take a full hour, and you did that every day while they were in the depot. Every day you went up there to have the history of the regiment landing in him.
Which was quite a considerable history.
Oh, my God, going back to 1600.
Did that include some of the heroes of the past who would...
Oh, yes, I and of the future. I met many fellow like, as I'll mention later on, who became great heroes, mean heroes. But in that particular time, we were learning all about the history of the regiment. That would take a full hour every day. And then, every day, now where the gunners were learning gun drill 3-4 times a day, they were doing gun drill, etc. And martin drill, etc. But they did gun drill specifically. But we only did one session a day. We would have one session of gun drill every day.
What did gun drill comprise of?
Well, the gun drill was, they would bring a gun out onto the square.
What size gun was it?
Well, the one we were on at the time was a 4.5 howitzer, and there was an 18-pounder alongside it, which was the actual field guns of the time. They were heavier guns, but... This was the one that you more or less learned on. There was a little 13-pounder there, which is that was the one the RHA used to use. And we were taught on the 18-pounder and the 4.5 howitzer. And
we were talking about gun drill itself.
Gun drill itself. Well, there would be 7 men on the gun. Loaders and everything. You'd have a number one, who would be number one on the trail. There was number two, he was on the sights. Number three was always your gun there. Number four was the bridge mechanism. Number five was the loader. And the other two was carriers of ammunition, you know, or supposed to be carriers of ammunition. But they did like to carry them. Because if by any chance you committed a misdemeanor or any description, and the punishment was at that time, and it probably still is, for all I know, and they used to take this 35-pound shell, that was a 4-5 horse shell, 35-pound in weight, and they used to double it around that square at the double, and you carry that shell. Believe me, you've got to see that parade ground at there. And if I'm saying it's a half a mile long, it could be 3/4 of a mile long. Anyone would see it out of that way. Massive square. And they used to show you there, that was your punishment. Double right way around that bloody square.
Did everybody get round?
Huh?
No, drop the shell over.
But of course, it was a dummy shell, right? It was a few of them weight. And we would drop the shell, or whatever happened, you know. And then another punishment, which was even worse, was at the back of the guns, where the big gun shed was. The ground sloped down at an angle of about degrees, like that. Maybe even more. Yeah, it would be about 60 at least. And it used to be right down from the back of where it must have been, where they banked up to build these guns. Mm-hmm. On the top, you see, the gun part on the top. And they just scooped the earth up like that. And they used to send you down there with the same bloody shell. And tell you to climb up there. At the double. And when you got to the top, they say, that's not enough. Get bloody back down there and come back up again. And they would have you up and down that bloody thing till you collapse. You would really fall in exhaustion.
Pretty savage. Huh? It'd be pretty savage, really.
Some of them looking back, like, you know, the sadistic.
And you took this, well, it was presumed because you had to. You had no choice. Did it cause you to lack respect for people that ordered you to do this?
No, the funny thing is, it didn't cause you to have any. You call them all the bastards under the sun. Only a breath out of your face. You'll be kind of up and down that pretty hill. It'll get me hands on you, I'm very fettling, but you never did. But you would have done it at the time if you'd been able to get out of it.
Can we go on with gun drill that you were talking about? We've got the seven man on the gun.
Yeah, well, the number one was the handler of the gun. So somebody would be appointed number one. And they would take turns, you know, and he would go round and round.
What would number one do? What was
number
his task?
He controlled the gun. He was in charge of the gun. He was always a sergeant.
Normally
he would have been the sergeant. We were just pretending. Yeah. So he would be the sergeant for the day, kind of thing. Well, that. So his job was, he had to move the trail of the gun to wherever it was necessary. You know.
Was it the angle of sight
and that. You see, you, this is what you would tell. Yeah, you get the angle of sight, you put the angle of sight on, you know, and the elevation and that, and you would do all this. Because you're being taught this, you see, and this is all part of the training.
I was going to ask, how did he move the trail? I mean, what was the process of moving the gun?
In those days, they were all iron tired wheels. It was an old, like, cart wheel.
When number one moved the trail,
all you had to do was, there was a big handle come off the back of the trailer, which was collapsible, see. But you put it up and kick it in their position, and that was it. You just cut all the handle and you lift it and
move it.
So you got it into the angle where you wanted it, right?
And that was number one's task. As well as
the movement of the trail, besides being in charge of the gun. Number two, as I say, was the bridge, wasn't it? Aye. Number two was bridge wall. Number three, like the opening of the bridge.
One man opened it, the other one pushed the shell in.
But number three was the gun sight. He was the man that laid the gun. So whatever.
And how did he do this? Was this with
whatever angle was shouted down. You see, if you could traverse it, well, you would traverse it with a little hand.
With the wheels.
You just had the two little wheels, traverse this way, traverse that way, and you base it up with the wheel. And you would traverse it out of there, the little hand. Especially with the 4 or 5 horses, which used to go up to you. Oh, my God, you know, probably pointing in the sky, you know. And but the other light was just more or less anti-infantry. And as I say, now, so that was number two on the bridge, opened the bridge. Number three was on the sights. Number four was he was the loader. Aye. Come back to
And you all, as you said, you all moved round and yeah, and
you all moved round. You see, as long as you just moved round one every time, so that you actually went through the whole, see, the whole 7 year. Of course, you had like 3 or 4 months together, you know, and you'd be doing, you'd be looking after 3 or 4 months all together, you know. And you'd be doing that all the time. They'd do that for another hour, but you only did an hour every day. Like the bullies were up there, they would be doing that, you know, 3-4 times a day.
And this was just learning the drill. You weren't firing at this point.
No.
And you, of course, were in as a driver.
We were in as a driver, so all
but you still had to learn about the gun as well.
Oh yes, you had to learn. You had to learn those guns. You know, I mean, you've got to know your gun. And I mean, in those days, and I mean, when I think back, like, I was a sergeant on a gun. Yes, and we handled guns. And yet, we weren't considered fit to handle a gun. In those days, and we were still handling those same guns many years later. Same guns, exactly. We handled the gun after the mechanized and all that, you know.
So you'd go through your gun drill in the after, well, at some point in the day.
In the afternoon, you see, and then, I've done the paddock, the PT. I think that's about the typical day.
And that would take you up to about what time?
About 4 o'clock.
And that's when your working day finished?
That was more or less when your working day finished. So unless you've been, as you say, stepped a bit out of line, then we'll keep you out on the square and giving you a bloody half an hour to hold yourself back, you know.
Did they tend to punish the whole squad if one man did something wrong?
No.
Chap who did it.
If you were responsible, you got very punished. unless it was 3 or 4 booking about, like, you know, and then they would just say, right, that's it, look, now I had enough of this, like, you know, you could see them passing through the mine, like, and then it would go on from there, like, you know, and it would give the whole village squad a bashing, and then would turn around and say, what do you want to pay to do that for?
So 4 o'clock your day, and what did you do after 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, well, then you went and had dinner.
Yeah, and you said this was...
Wait a minute, I forgot about that. Then you would go, sorry, as drivers, we would go back and we would bring all the... I knew there was something else I had to say. We'd march back to barracks and then into Denham's again. And of course, we're doing a good drill, you know, we used to be dressed for it. And we're back in the Denham's, and we'd go down, feed the horses, well, take them out the water first. We'd lead everyone out the water, and we'd all be led out the water, and then we would feed them all. They would all get a good feed, like the barley and corn and everything. And then you would go and get the straw, and you would bed them down for the night. I do remember something about the night is where we would bed them down for the night, and we would lay a straw on every little stall, had its own bed of straw for the horses to lie on, because they had their head covers on, and chained them, but you had a halter on which let them so they could lie down in comfort on the stall. That was a typical early training day. Typical day, and that day would go on ad infinitum, so the rest of the training, other than when you have to learn to ride properly and everything like that.
Which we'll come to. When you actually do right, yeah. So in an evening in those early days, what would you do?
Well, in an evening, especially in the early days, we did nothing except sit there and boom boots polished buttons. Everything had to be polished. You know, you did all your own washing. Didn't have any laundry or anything like that. You had to do all your own washing, shirts and everything. And you had, what's it going to say? You did all your own washing, all your own cleaning, and all your own bullying. And you would be sitting there bullying away with them bitten boots and that. In the early days, we could take a long while to get a good shine on them boots, you know. It was about the 3 weeks to a month before it really began to show. And in those early days, it was really hard work because you never saw anything. You never even went across the bike. You never left the bike. You never had no chance of looking out the bike. So, right, you could go to the canteen. There was a canteen there.
On the barracks, yeah.
We could have gone up the canteen, like, and but the thing is, you didn't have a very good experience, did you?
Mm-hmm.
You only had five shillings a week, and you had to get your blank on, your boot polish, and everything else, and I'm thinking £5 a week, you know.
Was it some of the money was it allocated to home? Did you allocate money home?
I didn't allocate any money home. What would happen to you? There was 40 shillings a week, so 2 shillings a day. There was 5 shillings kept for to put in an account for when he went on leave, or when he became a billionaire.
I think we've got this on the other tape now. Now he mentioned it.
Yeah.
So you were busy cleaning all night. What you said you did your own washing. What about ironing facilities? Was there one iron per room?
Always a couple of irons in the room. Yeah.
And they were army irons.
Yeah. What big old army irons? Big old flat irons.
And you'd iron your shirt and put your creases in. Were there any old soldiers? Were there any old soldiers' tricks about the creases and keeping the creases in your trousers? And lie on them through the night.
Yeah. You would lie, especially later. That was the way you kept the creases in. You used to lay them flat on the biscuits that you used to have. Right? And it was just like a press. You didn't press that way. But of course we had riding biscuits like so. They all had a shell and a pad here and on there. And they all had a big blanket.
And that was khaki blanco, was it?
Khaki blanco, khaki blanco on there, khaki blanco on there. White blanco on there, lanyard. And,
So you're pretty busy in these early days.
Oh, yeah.
Busy. What time was lights out?
10 o'clock. War betide you if you disturb the bombardier after lights out. Which only happened once with us. This was early days, you know. And, We all had a bit carry on, like we have to bed at 10 o'clock, you know, got to go to 11 o'clock, haven't you? And nothing happened at all that day. And the next morning,
I think you said it. I think we've got this way. He got him. He got you up early, didn't he?
Yeah. I didn't know whether we'd do that.
Did as part of your training in those early days, did you do route marches?
Not as route marches as such. Oh. Not like we did in the Devils. We were always on route marching there. But we did marching. But we never. No, I can't remember actually doing
route marches. Oh, so you weren't infantry anyway, were you?
Really, once you got riding, you know, we were out roof exercising and things like that.
The physical quality of the people coming in, you know, people like yourself, you were obviously fit. Were the others
very, very sedentary, you know. They really took it badly soon. I mean, I'm joking about it, but broken actually crying, you know, when it's all about this country, like, you know. I hadn't had to look it like I had. I'd looked it from a Not that my father was ill or anything like that. It was just being left on our own, four of us, and he was looking after us, you know, and we had our own jobs to do in the house.
So you would take to this reasonably well?
Well, it was nothing to me like the scrum floor, where, I mean, a lot of things.
Could you make a genuine complaint in these early days, if there was a one, to a higher authority?
I wouldn't think so. But I'll give you some instances later on, and you'll be surprised. But in those days.
Did you see much of any of the officers?
No. You saw them on parade, and that was as much as you saw them.
And was that a weekly business parade? Did you, or how often?
No, they'd be going around the parade ground. When I look back in that respect, they weren't even, to me, they didn't seem as though they were interested. They were just there to be there, to understand what they were, as officers.
And a junior officer didn't command your particular squad or unit?
No, the only man that was charged of us was that boy there. He was the only one that later on, I guess, when we got on the garden and things like that, that was a different kind of fish.
Did you do any...
In those days, I mean, there was a gentleman's call, weren't they? You know, they were all gentlemen. Or you'd like to be gentlemen.
Did you do any bayonet training?
Oh, yes. I was carrying 21 inch bayonet, just the same.
And you had bayonet training to do?
Yes, always had the bayonet training, yeah.
And presume this was charging the bags?
Charging the bags of stuff. Aye. Took a hell of a bundle of the dust. In fact, I just did it last night. Put all the lads over at the bus club. all about that.
What about gas precautions? Did they put you through gas shed?
Yes. You had the gas. The test for the gas was they would fill this place full of tear gas, kind of tear gas. You would fill it full, and you'd put your mask on, and you would go in with your mask on. But once you got inside, he was commanding to take your mask off just to show you what the effect of gas would be on you. But of course, it was just like a tear gas, you know. And if you should take your gas off, you couldn't try to get out, you had a tear rolling up your eyes, you know. And he'd say, well, that's just to show her. Sure, yeah, the protection that the mask is actually done for you, you know, and given for that, you know.
Were you each issued with a gas mask?
Oh, yes, you had your own gas mask with its own container. Yes, all that was all issued, it was all part of standard issue, that was in those days.
Medicals, did you get medicals when you went in?
Well, we had a full medical when we went in, and everything, like, as regards the medical side, we've been seen to. That was teeth. Then here, no, I quite a number of things to pull out, actually, because I'm one of my brother's biting, so I pulled it on the airport.
And presumably there was a sick parade if you were sick too?
I can't ever remember being on sick parade, like, but the most sick parade for anybody that was near the buffet to see was sick. Get wrong for being sick in the army at times, you know. You've got to be really pretty desperate to go sick when you're on the depot.
Church parade every Sunday?
Church parade every Sunday, yeah. Once you were capable of doing justice to your uniform, they wouldn't allow you on. You never went on church parade late before you were able to march properly and that.
And was that a garrison church
within
the
garrison? Oh,